Beginning right now, so thanks for letting me be with you. Thank you for your support of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Let's open in prayer. We got much to cover, so let's get started, shall we? Let's pray together. Father, we bow in your presence, and we thank you that you are the living God. We would ask that you would help us honor your name. We thank you that you have glorified your name in the Lord Jesus, and we thank you that through him we have eternal life, and indeed we've become part of the family of God. We ask your blessing on the day. We commit our day to you, and we ask that as we worship in spirit and in truth, that you would be pleased. We pray for every person in this room. We pray for unspoken requests. We bring before you the needs of this congregation, and we lay them before you. And we ask that you would turn our attention heavenward, focusing on you. And so, Father, we do commit to you this Sunday school hour, the morning service, and the evening service at the end of the day. We commit the day to you in Jesus' name. We love you and praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Out in the narthex, in the lobby, we have a table, and there's some materials on that many of you know, Friends of Israel. You have supported Friends of Israel for a long time, and we thank you. But on the table, we have our magazine, Israel My Glory. Pastor Steve asked me to talk a little bit about Friends of Israel, and I'm happy to do that. So while I do that, take your Bibles and join me in the book of Psalms, would you please? Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Some of the materials are free, and we encourage you to take our magazine if you don't already. Something that would be helpful for you to know as you support Friends of Israel, and that is this, that Israel My Glory goes around the world. It touches 6 of 7 continents. The only continent it does not go to is Antarctica. And I used to say, you know, if people lived in Antarctica, Israel My Glory would go there too. Do you know people live in Antarctica on purpose? The United States Geological Survey team and many other countries and academics are down there on that frozen continent. And when I found that out, I said, we've got to get Israel My Glory down to Antarctica. And so I made the attempt. I found out what the postal code was. I sent Israel My Glory down. I said, with all of those researchers, they have to have a library. So I sent it to the United States Geological Survey Team Library. Then I found out there was a church down there. Can you believe? An Inuit church, tribal church. And it's like, aptly named, by the way, Chapel of the Snows. I said, they need Israel My Glory. So I sent it down to the United States Geological Survey Team, sent it to Chapel of the Snows, and it got to the post office, sat there for a while, then they sent it back to home office. Return. Nobody picked it up. But that's okay. It got there. That was the point. And then we were in the opposite end. We were visiting Hawaii. We had a supporting church there, and so we were doing a conference, and then we ministered in a couple of other churches there on Oahu. And while we were there, a lady came up and she said, "My, I wish my husband was here, but he's coming back this weekend from his annual deployment to Antarctica." And it's like, really? And so she took our materials and took the magazine. And when he came home, she gave him my information. And a few months later, I got a call from this U.S. Air Force major, and she said, "Brother Munger, this is Major, and with the U.S. Don't tell the ACLU, okay? Don't tell them the United States Air Force helped get Israel My Glory down to Antarctica." But they did. Major Hedges says, This is Brother Munger. This is Major Hedges. And it would be my pleasure to take Israel My Glory down to Antarctica. And he took a picture of himself at McMurdo Station holding up Israel My Glory. And then he went to the South Pole and he held up a picture, a center picture of him holding up Israel My Glory at the South Pole on Antarctica. And for one issue, Israel My Glory touched the entire globe. For one issue. But you can receive Israel My Glory free if you don't receive it already. If you did and ran out, this is a great time to reload. And you can sign up for Israel My Glory. We'd love to have you do that. Now, one more thing. And then we're going to get into Psalm 20. This is in relationship to October 7, 2023. On October 7, 2023, the world changed in a very powerful way with the attack by Hamas on Israel. Anti-Semitic acts after that event around the world increased multifold. In France, anti-Semitic attacks increased 1,000%. They increased not that dramatically, but dramatically here in the States as well. COVID did a number on our annual Honor Israel Night Day with the Friends of Israel in Grand Rapids. And so for 3 years, we couldn't do it. Last year, we renewed it. This year, we're starting it up again. And since the war occurred and Jewish people are on edge, we're building our theme for our conference this year around the theme aftermath. Aftermath. The consequence of October 7, 2023. Now, you have an invitation. And I'm going to have a strong invitation. I am going to call it a plea. I am asking you and inviting you, please come. If you believe that Jewish people need to know that we support them and we stand with Israel, I'm inviting you to come and join me on Thursday, April 25, 6:30. For our annual Honor Israel Night. The cost is a free will offering. So there's no fee. You can take your offering ahead of time, give it to us at the registration, come and enjoy that night. We have my good friend Kobe Eretz. He's the Michigan Director for Zionist Organization of America, ZOA. He will be our speaker. We've also invited a student from Michigan State University, who is going to be explaining and relating some of the situations he has encountered of anti-Semitism on campus at Michigan State. University of Michigan is having a dramatic rise of anti-Israel, anti-Semitic activity. We need to show, I want to show, that we as Christians stand with them, and I'm inviting you to come and join us. And there will be, I'll be mentioning it again in the morning service. I've given some of your deacons the invitation, and I'm going to leave some of these with you. So please take them, they're free. And if you need something to write on, the back is empty, you can use it for that too. But do take it. You're invited. I'm encouraging you to come. You've been so supportive in the past, and we thank you. But what a great opportunity to be able to share with our Jewish friends and show them our unwavering support for Israel and for them. And so we encourage you to do that. What happened on October 7 was unbelievable. Israel had to go all the way back to the Holocaust in 33 to 45 to find a day in which 1,200 Israelis were murdered. People like to ask when there is a major disaster, a major incident like this, was that foretold in prophecy? Was it foretold in prophecy? Well, folks, if God put in prophecy everything that happens like that, our Bibles would be far bigger. Generally, yes. Specifically, no. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the latter times, perilous times will come. We're in perilous times on October 7, 2023. Would you agree? By the way, if you you support Jack and Judy, I believe, and just for your information, they have 14 of their congregation in service right now, serving in Gaza and throughout Israel. And so we would ask you to pray for those 14 young men and ladies, that God's hand of protection would be upon them. Opportunities of witnessing our church in Jerusalem, Menno Kalischer, the pastor. They have 40 of their congregation in military service, so that's almost 54, 40 and 14, so 54. Who are in military service, please keep them in prayer. I went to a Friends of the Israel Defense Forces dinner in Detroit. After the attack, it's like, I've got to go. I have to go. And so when I received my invitation for the dinner, I signed up and registered, and I went. During the course of the program, they were showing a video of various Israeli people and their thoughts about October 7, 2023. One person said, we as Israel have always been our strongest when we've united together, when we've walked in unity. And our unity, our military, that is what's going to bring us through this time. And dear ones, as clear as I'm speaking to you, I was searching for that Sunday, what am I going to speak on in my former pastorate down in Three Rivers, that coming Sunday. This is Tuesday. 5 days later, I'm going to be speaking at Three Rivers at Bethany Chapel. Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And as I was listening to this gentleman speak, the Spirit of God, as clearly as I'm speaking to you, said, I want you to speak on the ultimate defender of Israel. It is not the military. It is not the United States. It is the living God. He is Israel's ultimate defender. He stands behind Israel. Case in point. In 2014, Hamas had been launching rockets. Iron Dome had been taking them out. In fact, Jack had a picture of him having a portion of a rocket that landed right near their church, their home, and he took the picture of it. But in that conflict, there was a rocket that was being aimed at Tel Aviv. And the Israeli military contacted the civil defense in Tel Aviv and said, please prepare for mass casualties. We had a failure with Iron Dome. We couldn't take out the rocket. It's on its way. But God allowed a wind to come in off of the Mediterranean Sea that blew that rocket off course, and it landed in the Mediterranean Sea. Hamas's response was very telling, dear ones. Hamas said, and I quote, "Their God is stronger than our God. Their God is stronger than our God." Amen and amen. That's exactly what Psalm 20 says. This psalm is the psalm I was going to use when I was invited back in 2009 to Israel by my friend Sam. Sam called me one April evening. It was a Friday night. And Sam called me, and it was 7:30 our time. And he's calling me from Israel. And I said, "Sam, what time is it in Israel?" He said, "Tim, it's 3:30 in the morning." I said, "Sam, you should be in bed." He laughed and he said, "You sound just like my mom." I said, "Well, you tell your mom her West Bloomfield connection is on the job, will you?" Well, he called and he said, "Tim, I want you to come to Israel. I want you to meet the men and the ladies that you have given to through my organization. I want you to come in Israel." I said, "Sam, I had not planned on a trip to Israel. Let me pray about it. Let me see what God provides." And so we talked about it. 2 weeks later, he upped the ante. Sam calls me and said, "Tim, I am engaged. Now I want you in Israel to come to our wedding." I said, "Well, Sam, let's see what we can do. I'm going to do my best to get their plan on me coming, and we'll see how God provides." He did. To the praise of the glory of his grace, he provided. So I got to Israel, and Sam had asked me to come and speak to the soldiers. And so when I thought about what I was going to speak on, here is exactly the passage I chose, Psalm 20. So in Psalm 20, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the assurance of God's saving work. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call." Three times in this psalm, the phrase, "the name of," oh, bless you, thank you. Three times the phrase, "the name of our God," appears. First one, "may the Lord answer you. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you." And so follow that through. This psalm and Psalm 21 are twin psalms. Psalm 20 is the psalmist's appeal for God's prospering before the battle. This is David praying for God's intervention, protection, and defending his people before the battle. Psalm 21 is after the battle, the victory occurs. The victory occurs. And so I would suggest to you that in verse 7, it's the key verse to this psalm. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. There is Israel's ultimate defender. That is Israel's ultimate defender, folks. Israel is one of the few armies that has a battalion that is on call at the ready for being deployed to assist any nation that has either a natural disaster or a military disaster. It's called the Kedem Battalion. This battalion has earned the plaudits of countries around the world, including Haiti. Did you have a comment, Gary? No? All right. Don't move. It's like being in an auction. You never know what you're going to walk away with. Back in 2009, January of 2009, Haiti was hit by that horrific earthquake. Significant devastation. The first country in to assist the Haitian people was Israel. They came in, set up their entire, first of all, hospital, field hospital, complete with ICU, surgical rooms. They had obstetrics where they could deliver babies. And then they also had search and rescue. And then along with that, they also have, believe it or not, they have clowns that go through the town and they care for the children. So great was Israel's response in Haiti that when Japan had their horrific nuclear issue, and then on top of that, the earthquake, the premier of Japan didn't even hesitate. He called Israel and he said, "We saw what you did in Haiti. We need you here in Japan." And Israel sent its battalion to Japan, Nepal, Philippines, Haiti, Japan. Israel has been at the ready. Not many armies that I know of have that kind of a battalion. And they are on call. They are ready to go at a moment's notice. In fact, when women gave birth in Haiti, they named their sons Israel. In the Philippines, when they gave birth, some of the ladies named their children Israel. And so when you see Israel attacked and vilified, and it's what they call the three D's of anti-Semitism, divestment, which is urging the removal of any kind of investing in Israel financially. Divestment, delegitimize. I was at Schoolcraft College recently. This was an amazing opportunity that came. Jewish friends in the Detroit area called and they said, "Tim, we're going to Schoolcraft College. We have been allowed to come and represent Israel. And we need help, so would you come and set up a table with us?" I would be delighted to do that. And my friend Huge, to quote him exactly, he laughed and he said, I said, Huge, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for thinking of Friends of Israel to be a part of this program. He said, he laughed and he said, Tim, you won't let us forget you. Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. So while we were there at the Schoolcraft Cultural Fair, I went in and dear ones, John 3:16 came to life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Man, you walk in there and there's all these flags and these tables of Japan and Turkey and Palestine as well. Palestinians were represented. They were walking around with their keffiyehs around their neck, some over their shoulders, and they were walking by my table out in the narthex. I had three different guys with their keffiyehs walking by my table. I was talking to a student. And one of those young men walked by and he said, Israel's not a real country. The young man I was talking to, he said, is there a controversy for Israel? Oh, yeah, there is. And he said, that guy was rude. And I said, thank you. I agree with you. Israel's not a country? Really? Welcome to delegitimizing. Welcome to divesting. Welcome to demonizing. Demonizing Israel. Rashida Tlaib, representative from the Detroit area in Congress, on the day of the attack, refused to condemn Hamas. Dear ones, you know what happened on October 7th. May I remind you that on October 7, early in the morning, Hamas, with the aid of Iran training and Iranian funding, entered Israel. 3,000 Hamas terrorists came into Israel, attacked 22 cities, murdered 1,200 Israelis. About 200 Hamas terrorists were killed, by the way, 1,400 fatalities, 1,200 Israelis, 200 Hamas terrorists. Do we get done at 10:30, 10:40? What time do we get done? 10:45? Oh, we got so much time. I'm going to give you some opportunity to ask questions, too. I'll answer everyone, even if it's with I don't know. All right, but I'll answer every question. So, Hamas, it's what I call the three B's. I'll add a fourth. They beat Israelis. They butchered Israelis. They burned Israelis. A friend of mine sent me a video from Hamas. Folks, they took video footage of what they did. Body cam. A friend of mine sent me a 7-minute video taken from some of the Hamas footage. And I said, I gotta watch it. I mean, I wanna watch it, but I gotta watch it. They came to Nova, where it was a big music festival down just outside of Gaza. And one person said it well. They executed those young people. They executed them. On that video I watched, and at those porta potties, there was a whole row of them. They walked in and they just opened fire on each one. Boom! just in case somebody was in there. Take them out. They were putting it on public social media. Here's the last beat. Not only did they beat them, butcher them, burn them, they beheaded them. And who did they behead? Thank you for asking. Excuse me. Who did they behead? Forty babies. 40. And Rashida Tlaib refused to answer the question, what about the babies that were beheaded? She refused to answer that question. She ignored it. Folks, I have yet to be able to find a single word that defines what happened. What happened on that day was so inhumane, doesn't even begin. Let me take you back to that night on Tuesday night after the attack. On that Tuesday, it was about a month later, at the FIDF dinner, they put up photos of some of the victims, not as they were found, but as they were in life. And one of them was those babies, a precious little girl, pink ribbon in her hair. You know how they got those big bows at the end, you know, wrapped around the head. Beheaded. Two good things that came out of October 7. Number one, dear ones, every one of those babies that was murdered is in heaven. Amen. Every single one is with the Lord. Number two, the world got to see what Hamas really is. Dear ones, Hamas is not a government. They are not. They are a terror organization. They're not a legitimate government. They are a terrorist organization. And in this incident, the entire world got to see what Hamas really is. This is who you're asking Israel to make peace with. Here is an action item for you. If you want to see for yourself what is Hamas all about, please type in, when you get to your computer or smartphone or whatever, please type in Hamas Charter English and find out for yourself what Hamas really believes. Number one, first and foremost, they do not recognize Israel as a legitimate government. Two, their aim is the ultimate destruction of Israel. Period. A gentleman got on camera and said, we will have another October 7, and we will have another October 7, and we will have another October 7, and we will have another October 7 until Israel is destroyed. In Psalm 120, an additional psalm, if you want to expand on what we're looking at in looking at Hamas attack October 7, 2023. Psalm 79, Psalm 20 and 21, Psalm 121, God says, My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The ultimate defender of Israel is God. And that is why, and please remember this, Hamas is not a country. Palestine is not a country. It is in the confines of the nation of Israel. The Palestinians are not a government. Hamas is not a government. And by the way, when you talk about humanitarian aid, guess who gets the humanitarian aid? Hamas takes it and then sells it at exorbitant prices to their people. And so that is why when our country is demanding that Israel give humanitarian aid and seek to, quote unquote, limit civilian casualties, you're talking to Israel, who is already doing that. The military motto of Israel is limiting civilian casualties. They will put their own men and their own mission at risk of failure to avoid civilian casualties. And by the way, my dad had a saying, and it fits here, figures don't lie, but liars do figure. And so please remember that when you're seeing humongous numbers, some of them may be accurate, many of them may not be accurate. Sidebar, do you think the world would let Israel get away with this statement? I'm sorry, but we don't have any record of who we have in captivity right now for the hostages. We don't know where they are or who they are. We cannot follow through and identify for you who we have in captivity. Would the world let Israel get away with that? You can answer verbally, 1, 2, 3, would they? No, you're right, I agree with you. Would they let Israel get away with that? So why do we let Hamas get away with it? Those young men parading around with their keffiyehs, the son of Hamas, he's incredible. The son of Hamas, his father was one of the founders of Hamas. So this guy knows Hamas, wouldn't you think? You know what he said shortly after the attack? I quote him. He said, "You watch. Not only did Hamas anger Israel, Hamas angered God. And you watch what God will do." One of the ways that God acted, this was the first time women were allowed in battle. Women were on the front lines, okay? There is a tank unit, and you can't say fully manned by women, okay? It doesn't, but I'm going to say it anyway. Fully staffed by women. Lieutenant Colonel, female, all the way down, her unit. That tank unit came into a kibbutz to bring support and to engage the enemy. Ended up in a 17-hour battle. This unit took out 100 terrorists. They had, in their own words, they said, "We had 10 minutes to become experts on the machine gun. We had 10 minutes. They said, "Usually, you're trained on that." We didn't have training. We went in, we had 10 minutes, and they learned fast. But God. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Mossab, Hassan Mossab Yosef is absolutely right. Hamas angered God. 40 babies beheaded. 250 hostages. My friend Josh, we do a weekly Israel situation report with my friend Josh. He's an Israeli himself. He's a veteran of the Yom Kippur War. And he has a network that is incredible. So when he approached me and said, Tim, I need to speak to the Thank God for Israel audience for Friends of Israel, can you make that happen? I said, well, yes, we can. And so he spoke at our Thank God for Israel Day back in November. After his session, we invited Josh to do a weekly situation report. So he gives, and I got tired of using the word update. So I said, we got to find a better word than update. And so I started thinking about it, and I said, in the military, it's called a SITREP, situation report. And I said, that's what we'll call it. And so now every week on Monday, we have our weekly situation report with Josh. Josh said that it's very important to have this conversation because we, in this conversation, will become ambassadors not only for Israel, but we will be ambassadors of the truth. And, dear ones, God is working, not only in military, but do you know that there are people coming to know Jesus Christ? There was a gentleman who had been involved in evangelical outreach and in Arab countries, and he said, I'm flying to Gaza because I believe that at the end of the war, there will be hundreds and hundreds of people who will come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of this war. I want to be there to help. I want to be there to help. Sidebar number two. The ratio of missionaries to Muslims is this. One missionary for every 1 million Muslims. One missionary to every 1 million Muslims. Maybe if we had sent more missionaries, we wouldn't be sending military. People talk about how, quote unquote, how hard it is with Jewish people. Muslims are far harder. At least in Judaism, there's only a ceremonial funeral if you come to faith in Jesus Christ. If you come to faith in Jesus Christ as a Muslim, you're murdered. You're murdered. And so that is a far, far more serious effect of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. If there's any way to pray for Israel, pray for this, that they would remember that their ultimate defender is God. He'll not let them down. The son of Hamas is absolutely right. Watch what God will do for what they did. Josh reminds us, and I'll remind you, he met when he was in Israel recently. He and his wife have a home. They're 4 miles from their home to the Lebanese border, okay? 4 miles from my friend Josh, his home to the Lebanese border. Their kibbutz, where their home is located, has now become a military compound. Josh, when he was there, he called us a few times on FaceTime, and he showed us, you know, he said, Tim and Kay, you see that line up there?
Yeah, we see that line, that forest. He said, that's Lebanon. That's Lebanon right there. And he said, every morning, Nasrallah gives me a wake-up call. Rockets coming in. One Sunday, he said, we had 100 rockets yesterday. 100 rockets that came into our area, courtesy of Nasrallah. And then on Monday afternoon, he called us, and it's now 8 o'clock in Israel, while we're talking to him. And Josh said, Tim, you got to meet this man. And so his name is Eitan. His daughter's name is Romy. I'm going to ask you to put her on your prayer list. Would you please? Please pray for Eitan and his wife. I don't know her name, but their daughter's name is Romy, R-O-M-I. She's 23. She was kidnapped by Hamas on October 7th. And he said, we have not heard from her since. We don't know anything about her. We don't know if she is alive or dead. Many of the women, most of the women taken on that day have been sexually assaulted. Israeli doctors are preparing for numerous, if you can imagine this, they're preparing for numerous women to have been pregnant, become impregnated as a result of these sexual assaults. His daughter is 23. She was wounded, and he said she was shot in the arm. Don't know what has become of her. Please pray for Romy and all of the other hostages. My friend Josh, that's where I was going with all this. My friend Josh gave me a tag, and I'm wearing it. It's the only jewelry I really wear. But on my tag, it says, bring the hostages home. Now, bring the hostages home. Sidebar, I don't hold out much hope for those hostages being alive, folks. I really don't. How many are? I hope they are. We don't know. Because Hamas says we don't know how many are alive. We don't know where they're at. And so, unfortunately, we are unable to be able to comply with your request to give you a clear answer to who is alive and who is dead. We don't have that information. Really? It's your turn. You've listened to me. Thank you for letting me be here with you. Any questions? Any questions at all? Anything? Wow, you're good. Anything at all? Go ahead, Gary.
Assistant pastor with Jack Adi.
Yes. At least one, I know. Yeah. At least one, I know. He was one of those that was listed.
What is he doing? He is the boy. What's his position? Is he in the army? Or is...
Probably, but I don't know. Sorry. There's my first answer. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. Next question. Good. That got us going. Go ahead.
What's like your friends over there in Israel, what economic conditions are going to be impacted or cost effective? I have a friend over there that I made to work, who lives in Modi'in, and he lost his apartment. Because he lost his job before the October 7th, a little bit before that.
Pretty much, it impacts the entire economy because everything went from product activity to for the military. You know, so you've got 350,000 reservists out in the military, in the field, in the military. So they're not working. The businesses were, you know, in some of the areas were closed. They're trying to bring it back. But the first quarter, Israel lost, I think, 20% in their economy. So because of the war. And so, yeah, it's having a very definite effect and impact. When the reservists have finished, they've been 6 months. You know, they've been 6 months and without a break. And so now they've been letting some of the reservists go back because, as you've been hearing, and it's reality, the northern border is heating up too. And so there is a definite issue with the potential of war with Hezbollah, i.e. Iran through Hezbollah. And so there will definitely be an incursion by Israel into Lebanon soon. When that's going to be, can't tell you specifically. All we can say is it will be, and it will probably be soon. That's going to add to an economic impact as well. So yes, it has been. There has been a significant impact. The end of the third quarter, I think, or fourth quarter, it was about a 20% loss for Israel due to the war, economically. So it's made its impact, definitely, financially. Good question. Someone else. You're doing good. Go ahead, ma'am. Joyce. Yes.
And Iran has responded very strongly that they are going to respond. How is that
going? That is yet to be determined. The U.S. and Israel are on high alert, awaiting that potential significant response by Iran. They're not saying what they're going to do, but they will do something. And so Israel is looking and waiting, and they've made preparations for that. Bomb shelters, you know, have been opened to make room for people to be able to find safety. And so they are on high alert at this moment. That's how they're playing out. We don't know how Iran is going to do it. Well, it's kind of interesting. John, in one of his sessions, he said, Israel is first going to deal with Hamas. And when Hamas is done, Israel will deal with Hezbollah. And ultimately, you got to go cut off the head of the snake. And Israel will have to deal with Iran. And they'll deal with Iran. And but when you're talking, you know, the thousands of rockets from Gaza over the course of a few years, Gaza has launched 30,000 rockets, but at this very hour, folks, 150,000 rockets are armed and aimed at Israel from Lebanon. Right now, at this moment. And Lebanon, Hezbollah, actually Iran sent out a video of what they plan to do. And that is launch so many rockets into Israel from that 150,000 arsenal, rocket arsenal. They're going to launch so many rockets that it will overload Iron Dome and won't be able to take out all the rockets. And the rockets, with precision, will be able to do its damage throughout central to northern Israel. So that's their aim. Hezbollah and i.e. Iran, they've got all kinds of ways. There is a clock right now going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in Iran as to how long it will be before Israel is destroyed. Well, God says that Israel in Jeremiah 31, 35 to 37, that
Unless you can say to the sun, stop shining, unless you can say to the moon, stop shining, unless you can find the origin of the universe from one end and the conclusion of the universe at the other, then and only then can you destroy Israel. In other words, you'll be destroyed before Israel is, because God is Israel's ultimate defender. Does that answer your question? Go ahead, Sue. Shades of Baghdad Bob. Do you remember the war in Iraq with Baghdad Bob? We are winning! And then he runs off camera to run out the door to a waiting car to find safety as the U.S. troops were right out, you know, right at the doorstep of Baghdad. Baghdad Bob was doing the same thing. Remember that in Islam, Muslims, in Spanish it's called, not chutzpah, that's yish, not gravita, whatever it is, I'll think of it before 2 o'clock in the morning, when if I do, I'll let you know. But yeah, there's that. There's that word. I'll use that one, cojones. But bravado. God simplifies it and calls it pride. They refused to admit they were defeated, especially by Israel. Especially by Israel. What's really interesting is that the attack on Israel on October 7 was almost to the day 50 years prior for the Yom Kippur War. Right on October 7, Yom Kippur War started, 1973. 2023, 50 years later, they attack Israel, and once again, Israel is decimated. But Israel came back and is still fighting. Prime Minister Netanyahu says it best, and then with this, we'll close for this hour. He reminds the world, as well as Israelis, this is a war of good against evil, of light against darkness. Light must win. And that is why calls for a ceasefire, calls for a conclusion. If you conclude without finishing the job, they're going to be right back. General Petraeus made that warning. General Petraeus himself said Israel must defeat Hamas, or Hamas will come back and defeat Israel. That says it all. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thank you, Father, for our time. We do pray before, bring before you the needs of those 14 young people from Rehovot congregation. We pray for them, asking for your protection. We ask for your purpose to be fulfilled. Father, we pray today for not only Rehovot, but Jerusalem Assembly and those 40 young people in war. We pray for the war. God, your word says that you make wars cease. And we pray that this would be brought to a suitable conclusion. We commit our time to you. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.